part of our work. So Ali Kligman and Lindsay Fram, I have to say, this may be sort of a not-so-typical introduction of your bio sketch. They put it together themselves. Ali Kligman and Lindsay Fram both grew up in the suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio, but didn't meet until their first day of class in the fall of 2011 at the City University of New York School of Public Health, where they are both pursuing doctorates in public health. In between, they both received MPHs in the field of sexuality, Ali at Columbia's Mailman School of Public Health and Lindsay at Tulane. And now, Ali works as an evaluator at Harlem United in New York City, and Lindsay works at the Carrera Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention Program as a curriculum developer. There they are.
Hello. So I'm going to get started. We're going to go back and forth a little. So our focus is called Varied Priorities and Changing Attitudes Toward Parenting Partnerships. And just Emily Nell was also on this with us. She couldn't be here to present, but we want to mention her. We have no conflicts of interest to disclose. Okay, so in the recent decades, we've seen a well-documented shift, and this isn't just in the literature, but this is in pop culture, and we're seeing this shift in TV shows, in movies, in politics, in celebrity marriages. We all know about Angelina and Brad. They, you know, what we see, what they have is very non-traditional, but it's also, we're sort of getting used to the shift. And the shift is away from this heterosexual couple first marrying after they've lived together for, you know, an appropriate amount of time, getting engaged, and then they have kids and raise them together, and the intention is to be monogamous forever. So that's sort of the shift we see moving away. We're not really shocked anymore when we don't see that. And we wanted to illuminate these shifts and how they sort of influence parenting partnerships. And we do this in two ways with this typology that we developed from the data set, looking at attitudes toward parenting partnerships, and then looking at perceptions around the pros and cons of a traditional, which is this trajectory we listed before, and then the pros and cons of a non-traditional approach to parenting. So as Diana showed before, this was the interview guide, and the box that's bolded are the questions that we really honed in on. These transcripts, that 200 transcripts were very long, so it helped us to sort of focus on the questions that were going to be interesting to what we were looking at around parenting. So we looked at the relationships marriage questions, and it asks about what types of relationships you've been in, what type are you in now, what are you looking for, what do you think it should be like, who do you know in a marriage, what is their marriage like, things around that. And then we also looked at the childbearing questions. So do you have kids? Do you want to have kids? Do you want to have more kids? Things around that. What has influenced your decisions to have kids? What do you want to influence your decisions? And then specifically, what is a good age and situation for having a child? So the analytic approach, as Diana said, was grounded theory and deductive thematic analysis. And when we started out, we weren't really sure what we were going to look at, but we had this idea about what is the ideal situation to be in with a partner to have children. And that was sort of what we were like, we're going to look at this. And we all individually coded some transcripts, and I think we each did three each to start, and we were going to meet together to sort of see what we found. This is a new project for all of us. We hadn't ever done this before. And the day we were going to meet downtown at a coffee shop was the day that Hurricane Sandy hit. And so we were like, what are we going to do? Like, we were so excited. And so we did a Google Hangout instead. And we ended up doing a Google Hangout throughout the whole hurricane, just the three of us, like, at our own homes on our computers, going through the transcripts code by code by code for, like, I don't know, like 10 hours. And that's how we did the hurricane. And then we decided, we were like, that went really well. Like, we don't ever have to get off of our couches, and we can do all of this analysis together, and we don't have to take the subway. So we actually did, like, I'd say for the first year or so, like, almost all of our meetings were over the internet on our couches, and it worked out really well. But so, you know, it seems like very complicated what we're doing, but it was from our couches. So but the point is that our first question, what we found in like maybe months 1 and 2, we're like, everyone says they want a parenting partner who they can trust and who's a good parent and who's stable financially. And we're like, of course, who, like, that's the cliche, right? So we were like, this is telling us nothing. And this was part of the process that we had to learn, is that, okay, what we originally thought was going to be interesting was actually not interesting at all. So we started over. We had already done about one third of the transcripts at that point, and we started over, and it was frustrating, but that was part of the process for us to learn that in qualitative, that's just what you do. And it sort of helped us hone our research questions, and we eventually got to this point where the two threads we were looking at were attitudes toward a parenting partnership, which is this typology we came up with, and then the pros and cons of these traditional versus non-traditional approaches. And that's sort of when we got started, and from that point on, really focused on the codes that were going to help us illuminate these points. I'm going to hand it over to Lindsay.
So in a moment, I will review in more detail the parenting partnership typology, which incorporates three specific categories. So this will be on the quiz, so I hope you're writing it down. The categories are committed to the traditional, open-minded about the traditional, and not concerned with the traditional. So without any more detail, and we recognize that our data is not generalizable to the larger population. This is a New York City sample, and there may be some selection bias with those who have attended this particular presentation. There was certainly some selection bias in our research team. But by show of hands, and we don't have a group agreement, but this is a safe space, you have the right to pass. Who thinks they are committed to the traditional? And it can be like one of these things, like, all right, thank you. Who thinks they are open-minded about the traditional, this traditional parenting partnership? Okay, all right. And who is like, I am not concerned with that at all? Move on. All right, okay, interesting. So you'll see that you guys actually, perhaps our results are kind of generalizable to this population. The people who are committed to the traditional, now these circles are proportional to the data, but the overlaps between the circles, between committed to the traditional and open-minded, and between open-minded and not concerned, are not proportional, just so you know. And if you are particularly adept at mental math, you'll know that this does not add up to 200, which was the total sample size, and that's because for some people we didn't have enough data to actually put them into one category or another. So our committed to the traditional people, we have in three separate categories. Those are the people who are planned committers, unexamined committers, and after the fact committers. We lovingly refer to them as the committers. The planned commitment and the unexamined commitment groups might fall under an umbrella term that we would call a priori committed. These are people who are committed to the traditional, either based on personal experience, based on what they were taught, but they're making decisions chronologically in their life towards this trajectory that Allie explained. Then we have the people who are open-minded, and they fall into two categories. People who think the traditional is ideal, but they're open to other possibilities, and people who really like the traditional for themselves, but are totally cool with everybody else doing whatever they want. And then we have the people who are not concerned, and they fall into three categories. And so we have people who are totally fine with non-nuclear child raising or rearing. And those could be people who are supportive of surrogacy, of adoption, of blended families, people who don't think that a child is a good enough reason to get married, and people who just straight up don't want children. So when we read over transcripts of the committed to the traditional, we tried to pick out some really good quotes that sort of exemplified these three categories, the planned, the unexamined, and the after the fact. And the planned committers say things like they want to do it the right way. They have a very clear chronology that often includes education and career goals and other personal goals. So African-American male, 25, says, I don't want to have kids to slow me down and stop my dreams. I want to finish school, get a career, and then have kids. I want to do it the right way. I want to get married and then have kids. And the unexamined committers sound very similar, but it tends to be more vague, a little bit more nebulous. Babies, after you get married. I don't know. That's how I am. I think that's after marriage. I don't know. I guess that's because, like, that's what I've been taught, so I think that's good after marriage. A lot of people in the unexamined commitment group cite, that's what I was taught, that's what my parents did, or that's what my religion teaches. And then we have the after-the-fact committers. And a lot of the after-the-fact committers are committed to the traditional after they've had an experience with a non-traditional. And that includes people who got married after they were pregnant, but before they had the baby. I think the technical term for that is a shotgun wedding. So this quote is an example of that. I would not have had another child as a single mother. This is based on an experience that she has had previously being a single mother, and she has decided now that she will not do that again. Our open-minded people say things like, well, my parents would like to see me get married before I would have kids. That's kind of my plan, too, but if it doesn't happen that way, I'm okay with it. And the ideal situation is, one, to have a really healthy and loving relationship with my, whoever the man I'm having the child with is. It might be a husband, it might not. So there's a lot of sort of flip-flopping in these open-minded people. And then we get to our not concerned with the traditional people. And we have people who just really don't believe that a child is a good enough reason to get married, or that children and marriage are not, or marriage and children are not necessarily sequential events, and that one does not beget the other in either direction. And so they say things like, you shouldn't get married just because you're pregnant. And then we have people who are fine with non-nuclear child raising, and they say things like, I think at this point I'm so scared of having kids right now that I'd rather date somebody with kids already. They're prepared to enter into a non-traditional parenting partnership and might actually even prefer it that way. And then we have the people who don't want to have kids. I used to want kids, probably paralleled in my decreased interest in marriage over time has been my decreased interest in kids. I think that that stems from a fuller understanding of how much it changes your life and seeing people who I used to respect, people who used to be fun, and now they're no fun, and actually seeing what happens to their relationships, it can be terrible. Now, for those of you who have children, I'm sure white male 34 is not talking about you. You are probably still loads of fun. And so then our second strand of analysis was really looking at what people cited as the pros and the cons of the traditional and the pros and cons of the non-traditional parenting partnership. And we coded for these across all three categories of the typology. And so what we found was that for people, anyone who cited pros of the traditional parenting partnership, that most often cited were these family-focused. They fell into three categories: focus on adults and adult relationships, focus on the family, so adults and children together, and focused on policy. And what we found was most people were citing these family-focused pros for the traditional, that the traditional parenting partnership is really good for family. It's really good for parents and adults together. And so you have shared influence of mother and father, shared responsibilities, and just altogether it's better for family. And what we found when they talked about the cons of the traditional parenting partnership was that it's not so great for adults, and it's not so great for adult relationships. They found that it limited gender roles. This is a direct quote, kids ruin marriage. Not many people said it, but it did come up more than once. That there's pressure to have more kids once you are married, pressure to stay married for the children, and that there are many demands of the family that get in the way of pursuing personal goals as an adult. And when we looked at the pros and cons of non-traditional, that people cited talking about non-traditional parenting partnerships, there was an overwhelming number of people who cited the pros that fall into the adult and adult relationship adult relationship focused category. That non-traditional parenting partnerships are better for adults, better for adult relationships. That it increases independence, control over fertility, having a place to get away, and less stress on the partnership, no fear of committing to the wrong person, and that the partner, the other parent of your child, can remain a friend if the relationship does not continue, the romantic relationship does not continue. So among our typology, when we looked at it by demographics, by gender, relationship status, age, and income, we found that among the open-minded group, they were twice as likely to be female than male. And as we saw, males and females are equally represented in the sample. For relationship status in committed to the traditional, they were much more likely to be single, and there were about equal numbers of people who were married and in a committed relationship. And with not concerned, the largest group was single, followed closely by people in a committed relationship, and there were fewer people who were married than who said that they were just in a committed relationship. People who are not concerned with the traditional are more likely to be older, and people who are committed to the traditional were more likely to fall into that higher income group. And I think, yeah, I'm done. I think a lot of things, but I'm not going to share them with you.
Okay. So just to wrap it up, as Diana said, we are still investigating some areas, specifically the intersections between our two different analyses. We want to look at, if you break out the three groups, how do the pros and the cons of the traditional, non-traditional sort of fall out? And then also in that first slide with the circles, the people who sort of are in more than one typology, there are people who, even within one, you know, little paragraph where they spoke, were saying different things. And then maybe throughout the transcript, we found some people at the beginning of the interview when maybe they were a little more, you know, nervous or on guard, were saying very, like, traditional things. And then as you sort of talk to them after an hour, they were like, actually, I really don't want these things. You know, and I've thought about it now. So sort of what's going on with those people. And then also looking at the analysis by SES and looking at past research that's a comparison mostly with low SES. And these are acknowledgments. There was a big analytic team. Some are in the room, so thank you to those here. And all of the field interviewer staff who were out doing the interviews, and it was funded by NIH. So thank you very much.